This story is that Rip Van Winkle slept 20 years. Thank you. Peacefully snoring up on the mountain, a great revolution was taking place, and Rip knew nothing about it. He was asleep. And in a real sense, that is nothing more tragic than to sleep through a revolution.
Just listening to a composition of Dan Becker that employed the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That was titled Revolution and performed by my guest, or one of my guests more specifically, Kathleen Supovi. Interesting stuff, fascinating stuff, and I have to imagine that your performances bring the house down after you do these pieces.
I try.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, just when, you know, you get such a wonderful effect about some of this music when you listen to it on a recording, but having the effects of everything going on live in a hall.
Well, I try to acknowledge the visual element of performing. I think that would be one of the things, if I had to name, like, what are the principal missions you're on, you know, as a performer? I think it would be... that would be one of the things, is to acknowledge that it's a visual experience and try to make everything integrated, like the whatever outfit I'm wearing and what the entrance is like, how one's gesture infuses the impression that the audience gets of the music, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and how a piece is delivered, you know, like. Yeah. Like old-fashioned singers, how could they deliver a song, you know, to do some equivalent to that?
Well, that's great. And I wanted to just mention a word or two about notation in some of this music. I guess the notation of a Mozart sonata is a little out in a lot in much of this stuff. I mean, I know that kind of way you're your leap from traditional is there. But in terms of some of the, do you need to learn new notation in many different pieces? Is it a new experience each time?
There's often something new about the notation that that either I'd have to learn or that's in some way puzzling to me, where I say, thank goodness I'm working with living composers because they're around. I can ask them. It's funny because I'm Chicago composer Marita Bolas is currently writing a piece for a big project I'm doing called Digital Debussy, which I can tell you about later.
Yeah,
but she had written me a notation question. So a lot of times, and the question was, I'm triggering samples with a foot pedal in addition to playing, and the sample I'm triggering has text, and so she said, "Do you want the do you want it to be above or below? Because text would traditionally appear above. You sort of think you expect to look for it there, and pedaling would traditionally appear below. So you know, which do you want?" And she showed me all three. She sent me a little snippet of each. And which do you want? And I sort of said, I may eat my words, but I had said that I think I liked having the pedal down below and the text up above. And even though they're doing kind of the same thing and they're far apart now, I still think that that's where I expect to see them. So it's like contemporary pieces often come up with their own particular notation, you know, something very personal. And I know, like, Randy has very personal phrases that he tells performers. And the thing with Randy's music is you have to take it very literally, and you can't have any baggage added to what he's saying. You have to do just what he says. That's what I've learned about his music. Dan's piece had a lot of, there was just a lot of stuff because you had to listen to what the disc clavier was playing and what Martin Luther King was saying. And so I guess all the elements were familiar, but just the way they're put together might not be. So
yeah. One thing, not quite like notation, but that Kathy deals with in my pieces and in a lot of these pieces is click tracks, which is a sophisticated type of metronome. And Dan Becker's piece and any of my pieces, it's you have to stay lined up with the video and or the electronic sounds. And if you were to hear the complexity of these click tracks, it's really staggering sometimes. The same sky, it's fascinating.
Best click track ever. and it actually, it gets so, I used to play drop the needle with myself. I would start the click track somewhere and see if I could figure out where it was in the piece and everything.
Can
so actually, Dan Becker's piece does not use a click track because actually that tick-tock of the clock that in it, that was prepared piano notes. And that was sort of like a built-in click track that you had.
Well, interesting. Very interesting. Well, Randy, you look too, again, you look too calm over there.
Okay.
We got to get you back to work. All right. Let's talk a little Motown.
Okay.
You lived in Detroit, and you wrote a fascinating piece called Motor City Requiem, which actually has little snippets of Motown songs on like a tape against a live ensemble. Tell us about this work a little bit.
Well, they sure sound like Motown songs, don't they? Of course, it would be.
Yeah.
I'd have to have permission if I used Motown songs.
Yeah.
It's. I grew up in Detroit and was born in 1959, and I had very pleasant memories of it. I grew up just south of 8 Mile, which parts of 8 Mile are like that movie, but the part where I grew up was nothing like that. It was sort of like Queens or parts of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the riots happened in 67, and that was a major change in the city, but to be egocentric, it was a major change in my life. We moved to the suburbs, and everything was different, and frankly, a lot less good. And I've been have an elegiac kind of feeling about Detroit, and suddenly Detroit is in the news. It's just every week someone talks about Detroit is coming back. It's such an interesting place. It's such a hip place. I'm glad I wrote this piece several years ago, and I got in before the rising tide. So Motor City Requiem, it's about basically remembering the my happy memories of Detroit and hearing Motown, and my piano teacher played with the members of the Funk Brothers, and the vibraphone player on the Motown records was a friend of mine, and this was all around you. And I remember a little kid singing to me, I second that emotion. I thought he said sentimental motion. We were like 7 years old. So what I tried to do in the piece, the instrumental parts, at times sound like Motown songs too. It's all my own writing, but I tried, and I have to say, having studied Bach and Mahler and all these other styles, it's very hard to write like Motown. There's a certain kind of Motown song that is a combination of gospel and soul, of course, but also country and many other kinds of music. And it's sort of what they used to call Tin Pan Alley. And I found if you just did one chord too much or one note too much, it turned into country or it turned into gospel. Mm-hmm. To maintain that middle position that Motown had was very, very difficult. This was written for Present Music, a wonderful group in Wisconsin mm-hmm. that's done a lot of my stuff. It's a string quartet, piano, and the electronic sounds.
Well, I hope people enjoy it, that you will give, in the words of the Motown song, that it'll give you some sunshine on a cloudy day. We listen now to Motor City Requiem by my guest Randy Wolf, as performed by Present Music, conducted by Kevin Stahlheim.
And please. Oh,
You were just listening to music of my guest, Randy Wolf, Motor City Requiem. You heard present music conducted by Kevin Stahlheim. Once again, music by my guest, Randy Wolf. Well, we're going to go now, Randy, to another one of your compositions, Mekong Delta Blues. Tell us just briefly a bit about this one.
Well, Mekong Delta Blues uses samples of Vietnamese folk music. I licensed them officially from the Smithsonian, and I'm very interested in taking different kinds of music, especially world music these days, music from Central Asia or this from Southeast Asia, and wrapping around, not using it in any kind of ironic or fractured sense, but wrapping Western music instruments and Western music ideas around it. If I could play you, which we certainly don't have time for, some of these samples, they sound very different without the accompaniments that I've put in them. They don't change key necessarily, but I change key under them. I was surprised when I first heard this music in Vietnam how much of it reminded me of Motown, actually. There's some very soul music sounding things in this, which you'll hear, and the way I set them increase that. For example, at the very end of the piece, there's just a sample of one short fragment that this woman sings, but the chords under it are constantly changing, and it gives the impression of being a two-minute song when it's really just about 15 seconds of material. And I wrote it for a group called Classical Jam, and it was recorded by some friends of mine here in New York, some freelance players.
So we're going to hear that now. Mekong Delta Blues by one of my guests, Randy Wolf.
Ah, Tới nay tháng hai cho gái làm ruộng cho trai bé bơi nhà đi khoang hò khoang đốc hò la hô hồi
thank you.
You were just listening to Mekong Delta Blues by my guest Randy Wolf, as performed by a band of freelancers. Well, we have had a wonderful time here with my guests, Randy Wolf and pianist Kathleen Supovi, both of whom have been here since 10 o'clock this morning. Before we discuss what's coming up for you both in your future musically, share with us briefly what you enjoy doing outside of music.
Oh, right.
Something a little different, huh?
Well, I would say my main activity, other than practicing and doing music stuff, would be I'm a pretty dedicated and serious gym rat. And I do kickboxing and running. I'm a runner and step and body conditioning and that sort of thing. And between music and the gym, unfortunately, it doesn't leave a lot of time for other things. I love to read fiction, I'm huge fans of various authors, but it doesn't leave me a lot of time. Mm.
No, I can imagine that from my own experience. Sure. Randy, what about you?
Well, I love reading about science and math topics. Let's just say I wasn't paying attention in high school and I didn't really learn any of it then. So for the rest of my adult life, I've been trying to catch up on that. Now, Wikipedia has been a great boon toward that.
Oh, good.
Reading about a Brewster's angle all week last week, which is really not that interesting. And also actually finance topics, things to do with before all these new problems came up about mortgage-backed securities and all that. I was really studying a lot about them. It was quite a surprise when it became something everybody talked about. But technical things like that I like very much.
Very good. Well, great, guys. And now we're going to go back to you, Kathleen. What's coming up for you in the next several months, musically? Now we're talking musically.
Music, right. Let's see. Saturday night I'm playing as part of Composers Concordance's festival. Mm. And they're doing a boutique soloist event with three pianists. And it's Jed Distler, mm-hmm. Eleanor Sandresky, and myself. Oh. We're each doing a little solo set. And then there are pieces for three pianos by the composers of that group, and Randy has a new piece of Randy's is on that. And but long term, I'm involved in a project called Digital WC, and it has to the short answer to what it's about would be that I'm asking composers to kind of imagine what it would be like if WC were living in the 21st century, and possibly taking some of WC and processing it, or just being inspired by WC to do something wacky and outrageous that he would be the inspiration mm-hmm. for. Anyway, so I'm getting a whole group of pieces for that, and I have several big events in the spring, kind of very close to each other. Mm-hmm. April 12th, I have a big concert at Roulette, and mm-hmm. April 25th through the 27th, I have a theatrical staged musical presentation at the Flea Theater, where I curate Music with a View, their music series.
The Flea Theater, that's downtown, right?
It's in Tribeca.
Oh, yeah, I was at a concert with that earlier with Anna Milosavljevic, who was here also,
yes,
the violinist. She was here, and I was there. That was in August.
Oh, she was involved in a show.
In a show,
was there.
That's
which I couldn't go to. Yeah.
Now, it rang
a
bell.
That's the Flea Theater. Yeah.
Tell me, Kathleen, where is your event this coming weekend? That's this Saturday.
Yeah,
a little more details about that.
It's at Faust Harrison Pianos, mm-hmm. and it's at 7 o'clock at night on Saturday, early time, and it's actually free. It's a free concert, but you have to RSVP. You mm-hmm. have to write to info@FaustHarrison.com.
And where is that exactly?
It's on Piano Row. It's 58th Street between 6th and 7th, where all those piano stores are. Yeah, it's one of those piano stores. Really nice. So that it's kind of interesting. It's a piano showroom, so we're surrounded.
I think that would be fun.
It is fun.
And it would take a lot of that traditional pressure. I don't want to call it pressure, but it just makes it more informal, I think, doing it.
It does. And I'm playing kind of an unusual set, so I'm actually thinking about, I'm contemplating my entrance. Actually, as we speak, I've been thinking about what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm.
I see the wheels turning as we're talking, actually, anyway, with your hand underneath your chin. Uh-huh. And hey, that's great. Randy, what about yourself?
Well, actually, I'm writing a piece for pianist Kathleen Sapovi.
Who is that?
And Ransom. She's right over here, Marvin.
And
Ransom Wilson's group, Le Train Bleu, which I talked about. It's called Battery, as in assault and battery. And I'm using Kathy's athletic abilities that she mentioned. She's had all these kickboxing classes. So this is a stage theatrical piece choreographed by Heidi Latsky, where she will be, in a metaphoric sense, beating up on the piano with boxing gloves and so forth. And then I've been lucky, as you mentioned, to work with John Cale for a number of years, and he commissioned me to do a new version of his album, Paris 1919, for orchestra and rock band, and we've done about 10 concerts around the world, only one in America, in Los Angeles, and it's at BAM, January 18th and 19th. The evening is called When Past and Future Collide, and we play the Paris 1919 album, and then the rock band plays a small set, and then the orchestra comes back and does some of John's older songs with also arrangements by me.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of great stuff coming. And before I sign off, I just want to thank you both. It's been a delightful, fun 3 hours with both of you. And thanks for coming.
We really appreciate you having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a blast.
It's great. And I'd like to remind you that if you have any comments or questions, you can feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Also, the playlist for today's program will be posted by this evening on my website. And also, you can listen to this program if you missed the entire interview. That will be posted on my website. The program is archived, and all my interviews are archived indefinitely, so you can listen at your convenience. Again, I want to thank both of my guests for coming. And, well, we started off the show back at 10 o'clock with one of the dance etudes, and now we're going to sign off with two of the new dance etudes from 1988. We are going to sign off with the Sarabande and Jig by Randy Wolf, as performed by his wife, Kathleen Supove. Thanks so much. Be back next Wednesday at 5:30 for another edition of Classical Discoveries. Have a great weekend, and as always, do take care.